welcome to episode 3001, where Kurt Weller speaks to Bob Dobbs about media ecology, metaphysics, and life in general.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm just looking at my timeline. We last spoke January 3rd, 2011, and I don't know if that's when we spoke, because before that, September 27, 2010, maybe we did do a few months later, and then that was the last one. So we're talking 5 years, 5.5 years.
It's been 5 years, Bob. Lots happened, buddy.
You want to tell me?
Yeah, I do want to tell you.
Okay, let's go.
So I remember you made a joke on one of our final shows about how Kurt is only available when he gets divorced.
Oh, yes, I remember that. That's right. And then you got married around then.
Yeah, I got married last year, and I'm happy.
Oh, no, you got married back then. And that you thought you were going to get married. You had a girlfriend, and then it broke up, but you were too depressed to do anything to talk to me.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And then I met another girl, and I married her last year, and things are wonderful, Bob.
That's right. Are you going to have a family?
I think I might.
What, are you like 32 or 30, 37? How old are you?
Oh, I wish. I'm 44, Bob.
Oh, Jesus, you just made it under the wire, man.
Jeez. I know.
I have an old friend. I'm actually godfather to his kids, and he's in the film business up in Toronto. He did well, but now he was born in 1946, so he's 70 this year, and he's not getting the gigs as much, and so he even had to sell his nice big house he had, because he's got two daughters just going into college. Well, one's already 18, the other two are going in. He's got this big college thing, and he said to me 6 months ago, I married too late, Bob. You know what I mean? It's a real strain on him to keep the money up for his daughters, and because he's 70, and they're just getting near 20.
So. Well, you know, so like, let's see, if I have a daughter in the next, say, 2 to 3 years, 46.
You're gonna have in syndrome, you're gonna be 70.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good for you, Kurt. Not at all. I don't even think you'll be alive by then. You're too much of a deanie. You're a sub-deanie.
No way, Bob.
You know what a sub-deanie is? Many people have noticed that. All the people I know who are paying attention to me talking to me are all poor.
That's true.
Yeah. But what were you going to say? You're not a subgenius.
Oh, no, I gave that up, Bob. After
I know.
We did 19 episodes together. You steered me right.
Yeah.
But you know what? I honeymooned in Maui.
Wow. When? Like a year ago?
Yeah. Just exactly a year ago, June 9th till the 13th or so. It was beautiful.
Guess what? I got married on June 9th, 1970.
Wow.
Yeah, what day did you get married? The June 9th?
June 7th. And then
you Bob influence there. You're in the Bob envelope, and then you can't escape. You came to Bob's hometown on my fucking anniversary. That's incredible.
It's amazing, yeah. I've never wanted to escape. I've been wanting to do this reunion, I guess, whatever you would call it.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm just happy.
So what part
to hear your voice, Bob.
Right. I don't even remember your voice. I don't know if you sound the same. I've talked to a lot of voices since then. But what hotel were you at? Where did you go in Maui?
Fucking Hilton, bro.
You mean the Grand Wailea, the big one?
Yeah, the one that's, you know, it's just down the road from the military thing.
Wait a minute. No. You were up in Lahaina.
Yes, that's...
Yeah, you're near the little town, the tourist town.
There's a mall. There's a movie theater.
No, that's not. Oh man, you were on the. You were. You didn't come over to my place. My place is awesome. My area. Now let me just look up the what they say about the Hilton Maui. Let's see what that location is. Yes, I have never even been over there. I've been once or twice, but my area is the paradise. As a matter of fact, I've met several executives who, through the years, you know, they're retired and they've lived everywhere for working for Ford Motors or something, and they all say that Maui, my particular part, Wailea, is the best place in the world for weather and everything. It's the best place. They've lived everywhere, and they all come here because it's the. But you didn't. You weren't in touch with me, so you didn't get the best. So you went over.
Yeah, I didn't want to impose. I remember one time I asked if I could stay at your house, and you fucked on me for it.
No, hey, nobody, no. Holy shit, man! You'd be highly. You'd be busted. My security, they don't tolerate any pair of sub-deedies around here, man. It's a different world over here in my sea. But I'm looking at under Hilton, they got Grand Wailea, Hohoi Grand Wailea, Hyatt Regency Maui Resort. Would that be Hyatt Regency?
I don't know. It's Brady Bunch went like back in the day.
No, I never met them. I don't know anything about them. No, you're at the Hyatt Regency, if that is the Hilton. I put in Hilton, and I think that is. What did you do? Did you do the helicopter, fly around the island?
No, I didn't do that. I went to the Polynesian Cultural Center.
Yeah.
I checked out the Dole Plantation. It was cool.
Dole, yeah. Okay. And how long were you there? Five days?
About a week, yeah.
What did she think?
She loved it.
Yeah, Maui, do you want to come back?
Oh, I'd love to.
Well, if you do, we can get together. We'll meet in a restaurant. You won't come to my place, but we'll meet. but matter of fact, you know what's funny? You got to hear Chad, an old guy from the old days, came over, and we went to the restaurant three times over a three-week period. Three hilarious fucking him. We go on my radio show and he tells what happened. You got to hear those. They're hilarious. Matter of fact, if you're going to put me on any something, use those three restaurant things. They're just the greatest comedic replay of our three dinners in three different major hotels in this area. We caused so much chaos. It was pretty amazing. Bob goes to the restaurant.
Hey, Bob, can I just make sure that my recording device is working correctly?
Right.
Let me just I'm going to try to access it just to make sure that's recording both of
us. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, it's working, Bob.
Okay, good. You checked it and you heard a bit what we've done.
Yeah, I heard a bit what we've done. I just want to make sure that like none of this gold was being lost.
Yes. That's right. We're already hitting the top peaks already.
Okay, so Bob, like admit it. I mean like I'm like,
admit it? I'll admit it. But let me just comment. So this is different because you aren't divorced. That's the point. This is different. You're married and talking to me.
And I'm happy. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, good.
It's fucking beautiful. It's the end of the world, Bob.
Yeah, Kurt will be found dead in the next week with a sign, I can die now. It'll be a suicide note. I talked to Bob. I can die now. I'll talk to Bob through the evergreens. And you actually talked to Ion. That happened. That was one of the last things we did, maybe. Remember that?
I talked to Ion, and he couldn't access BB Boris for me.
That's right. That was the early years. Yeah, he was suspicious of everybody who was. He didn't. You had to be serious, man. You probably weren't serious, so he wasn't good.
I was serious. I wanted to talk to BB Boris. Is he still around? What's your relationship with Ion these days?
Oh, Ion is awesome. We've taken over the world. Now I'm not going to go into. You may want to talk about other things, but I can tell you, you won't believe what's happened. We took over. Anyways, let's hold back on that. Let's just talk on your level that you want to talk about first.
Okay. Well, like, are you saying like we'll slum it a little bit? Well,
no. Let's just hear about what's happening with you or whatever you thought you wanted to talk about. Unless you want to talk about Ion, is that what you want to go into?
No, I always like talking about the Stang and the Subgenius. I think that you and I destroyed alt.slack. Is that?
Right. Yes, and I always claimed I'd be the last person on there. I'm on there with all the Nazis and every other scum on the earth because staying them, they left Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I know. I recognize that. I went on there, three, 4 years ago, and there was nothing. It was like crickets.
There's activity, but they're all Nazis and racists and whatever, you know.
Yeah,
people.
They use the N-word and all kinds of.
Yeah, yeah. They're real sub-genius. Stan couldn't take the real sub-genius. These guys were the real sub-genius. And so they formed Alt-Scrub-Genius, I think it is. Alt-Scrub-Genius.
Oh, okay.
They cleaned up. And you go. So a friend of mine smuggled me on there one time. And so I got to see what they were doing for about a day, downloaded the basic historical order of who joined up first, you know, with Susie, whatever her name is, and those people. So I get all this basic historical information, and then I revealed myself there, and then they all went fucking nuts, I couldn't get back on again.
But the last interaction I had with them is I said, like, let me in. And I said, it's me, Kurt.
Wow. Is this like for Scrub Genius? You were trying to join
me? Yeah, I was trying to get in because I wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to talk to Ivan, you know, Doug.
Yes, and what happened? They just wouldn't let you in?
They wouldn't let me in. They didn't want to talk about it. They, you know.
They knew the connection, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, one of the greatest moments in my fifth body life was when one of the alt.slack people said, I wish that Kurt Weller, Bob Dobbs, and Carolyn Dean would drive up to the Washington Monument in a van and explode themselves.
Well, that's what they did to me. They did a couple years ago. They made October 22nd, which is one of my favorite dates. They picked. They didn't know how they're fitting into my meme, but they picked October 22nd and call it Bob Dobbs' National Ass Cancer Day. Everybody celebrates that Bob got ass cancer on that day. That's what they do on October 22nd. And there's this other guy, Dr. Sinister, on his Synesthesia show on the University of Cleveland WCSB. Yeah, it looks like CBS, but it's WCSB. Cleveland College Radio, and Stang is on there Sunday night, and then the Reverend Dr. Sinister's on an hour before, a couple hours before, or a couple hours after. They're very close, and often Stang goes on Sinister's show and talks. So I have gone on there, in there, and confronted them a couple times, but this Sinister is typical of the subgenius. I don't know if he knew it was pointed at me, but just out of the blue, they got talking about vacations, and Dr. Sinister says, you know, I hate Hawaii. I've never liked that place. This is how fucked up they are. He has to be so different. He has to hate Hawaii. And maybe it has something to do with me. But I thought that was symbolic, that he gets on there talking about how much he hates Hawaii. Now, you could, if you're a young person, it's not a good place for 20s, because there's not enough going on here for youth reality. But that's increasingly not an issue, because everybody's all on their chip body anyway, so it doesn't matter where they are. But I think they need chemical body, ghetto life, student life, you know, hanging out life, slumming it. So they're not going to get it here. But eventually, we left New York because JW first told us to get the hell out of New York. And that was told to us in 2007, a year before it started to collapse. And so we accidentally ended on Maui, and then we ended up staying, and we're sure glad we did, because by then the world had collapsed, and then everybody was only on their iPhone or something. That's all they had left. So it didn't matter where you were, so why not live with the best geography and do my culture on the internet? That's where the culture is. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I mean, I got to say, like, you know, I was one of those guys that was always like, fuck Hawaii, I'm not interested in Hawaii. But, you know, my wife said, like, why don't we honeymoon in Hawaii? And I was like, okay, what the hell? You know, might as well.
Yeah.
And I went there, and it's fucking incredible.
Yes, there's something going on in Maui. Maui's a pretty special place. I've had cynical old buddies from way back come over, and eventually after a few days, they go, yeah, this is better than Peggy's Cove, and that's some place in Nova Scotia, you know. He goes,
right,
yeah,
right, right.
Which is they worship Peggy's Cove, and then he says, you know, this is better than Peggy's Cove. I'm looking at this guy, yeah, it's a little better than Peggy's Cove, Steve.
The closest but, I've made it to Peggy's Cove is Cape Breton Island.
Oh, you know Peggy's Cove? You know that name?
I've heard of it, yeah. I didn't make it over there. I was at Cape Breton. I spent some time there. But you know what? Hawaii beats the shit out of that.
Yes, there's many people who have come here. I call them Ionauts. They used to be Ionettes, but they're Ionauts. They all say, holy shit, once they experience it. Now I know what you're talking about, Bob. I mean, it's like, I got to get back there. Like Chad, who's the, Ion calls him number one. He came here in April 2009, just after Ion showed up. And he was the first to have a session with Ion outside of us. And so he comes back 6 years later, 5 years later, seven years later. And he's got his girlfriend and he is more conscious of the place. And he says, holy shit, I get more energy. I can get everything done. I just need to run in the ocean twice a day and it's just down the street. So he definitely is working his life now to get back because he realizes how great it is.
It's Chad Octavian, right?
Yes, you used to be on there, right? I was
He did a show with us, I think.
Yeah, he may have. No, he
was a nice guy. He was a nice guy.
He was part of the battle whether I should be allowed on Wikipedia. Him and another guy.
Exactly. He wrote the article about you, and Wikipedia fucked you. And since then, I've been fucking. Wikipedia.
Well, he didn't. What do you mean? What do you mean he fucked me? He didn't fuck.
Fuck you. Wikipedia fucked you, Bob.
That's right. They couldn't figure out whether I was real or not. They decided they capitulated. They probably
that Jimmy Wales every fucking year he has like he thinks he's Jerry Lewis with a fucking telethon and he asks me to donate money and I'm like, you know what? Suck my big fat fucking hoggy fucking dick, motherfucker.
Well, yeah, the well used dick now. Well used now. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I would never give him money, but I should complain. What do you mean? You won't even. This is from. I'll send you a non existent fucking check from the non existent person.
Well, see, the thing that kills me, Bob, is like they've got all these fucking asshats on Wikipedia. And then I remember like writing an article and I put something in about Bob Dobbs and like they corrected me because you know it's infiltrated by fucking Doug Smith's
douchebags.
And they said there's no relevance. And I'm like, Bob Dobbs has done fucking hundreds upon hundreds of hours of fucking
I am the biggest fucking private non corporate timeline of the whole world.
Exactly. Podcasts.
I've done 8,000 hours with Ion. A lot of it's on the radio, and we have a streaming 1,000 hours streaming on AchieveRadio.com. Plus, you have everything I did since 1984. You look at it. Matter of fact, this Steve guy, who I've known since the '60s, he's very slow to absorb what I'm doing. So he came over and he said, "This is better than Peggy's Cove." But just the other day, he says, "Don't you have a timeline?" I said, "Yeah." I sent it to him, and he almost had a heart attack looking at it. So he says, "Holy fuck, this is massive, Bob." And I said, "Yes. Outside of Howard Stern or Rush Limbaugh, those guys are corporate guys. All their archives are probably available. Stang has a pretty big archive, but nobody as a private person has as many hours as I have available now. 32 years of it."
Yeah, totally. But you know what? I got to take one thing, Bob. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I felt kind of neglected because I remember looking at one of your timelines and I saw that you weren't including our show on there.
No, it's on there. But there were a couple of amateurs who attempted to make timelines and they might have left you off. I go right there right now. You want me to play an excerpt of our last show?
Yeah, do it.
Can we hear that? Yeah, let me just bring that up. See what we did.
I'm insecure, Bob.
Yes. Have you been doing anything the last 5 years?
I've been doing a comic strip.
Oh, really? Where does it go? You have a Facebook page or something?
It's called An Unwatched Pot.
Unwatched Pot, okay. But where do you see it? At Unwatched Pot?
It's unwatchpot.blogspot.com, and there's a Facebook page, Unwatchpot, an Unwatchpot. Kurt Weller's an Unwatchpot, yeah.
All right, but you don't do this thing, no buddies, you don't do a buddy podcast.
You know, Greg and I, you spoke to Greg.
Yes, he interviewed me one day. He was there.
Yeah, We haven't really done much. I've interviewed a few people, but it's been sporadic. But I've been mostly like focused on my comic strip. So that's what I've been doing like the last couple of years, yeah.
Okay, so what I do is I pull out my speaker. So we're going to – it'll play on my computer, and you'll be able to hear it, I guess, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. This is going to make me happy, Bob.
Yeah, January – so this is my timeline. Everything's there. January 3rd, 2011, MP3, episode 19. How many did you just say? Did you just give a number?
I think we did 19, yeah.
Right, now let's see. It's...
That's it, baby.
Welcome to episode 3001. Speaks to Bob Dobbs.
You sound... Boy, your Bible.
Life in general.
You're probably trying to phone me or something, right?
Stop. I was doing some energy work.
Can you start off today the same way? I've been on hiatus, Bob, when I got married.
Of course.
It's always the same beginning. And you have nice intro music. You should let it play a little longer.
You once described it as funereal.
Yeah, it is. It was nice.
I'm very proud of that intro music I did. Like, I enjoy that, yeah.
Yeah, and that is, I think you're saying that, and I'm not there, and then the music comes on, and you try to phone me, and we're going, yeah. Well, let's listen to some more, okay? Let's hear what
cue it up, baby.
Kind of life sculpting. But I went and saw Tron Legacy 4 times. Huge Tron fan. And I couldn't help but notice some similarities when I saw Tron between the Kevin Flynn character and Mr. Bob Dobbs. Have you seen Tron Legacy?
No, I haven't seen the 1982 show, and I haven't seen a new one. But I was talking to a tech support person yesterday, asked if they had seen any movies while we're waiting for downloading, and she said she'd seen Tron, so she filled me in on the basic plot, and I asked some details. I have a broad outline of what happened, but I'd like to know the particulars that are me.
Okay, so basically, the film takes place 28 years after the original film. It came out in 1982. And in the story of the film, Kevin Flynn, who's a software engineer, gets stuck in the computer in 1989.
Okay, when you say that she was talking about this, stuck in the computer, you talking like a neuromancer, you know, the William Gibson scenario, the guy is inside, like the Matrix, is he inside and perceives himself inside the computer?
No, it's, imagine... a device that actually digitizes your body, your molecular structure, and then brings it into the computer, so you're no longer have a physical body in this reality.
Okay, that's the old thing Bucky Cole used to talk about when somebody
said, yeah, go right into it.
You can close your body somewhere else, something like that.
Right, the original Tron, they were trying to build a teleporter, and so... what would happen was the machine would, like, digitize the person, zap them into the computer, and then it would zap that information to another place, and then thereby teleporting the person.
You'd be, and then you'd reappear. here in your physical body. It would reassemble you.
Right. But in the first movie, a malevolent artificial intelligence zapped Flynn into the computer and kept him in the computer.
That's in the first movie?
Yes.
So in the first movie, the father has gone.
Well, he is gone, but then at the end of the first movie, he's able to escape.
Who is?
Kevin Flynn, played by Jeff Bridges. So he.
Wait, what about his father? Is the father the guy who starts the company or the software that they're working with?
No, that's in the sequel.
Okay, so there's no father in the first one.
No, it's just Flynn. He's probably in his late 20s. He's like a computer video game designer.
All right. Bob, you still there, buddy?
You want me to stop?
Yeah. All right. So what do you think? Do you ever see Tron? Did you ever watch any of those?
Yes. It's as they're talking about it, I remember what I saw. I watched them after we talked.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I think that was pretty close to me. Maybe if we talk a bit here, we'll find out how, we play this. It did fit me. Well, this most good stuff is me. That's what's incredible. It's been more – Ion's always talking about it. It's fucking – okay, that's later. Let's just – you want to hear this a little bit more to see if they say a few examples or are you sick of it?
I'm not sick of it, Bob. Come on. It's me. You love me.
He gets a patient that will prove that he wrote these programs that this other guy took credit for.
Right, and that is in 1989, so he's born in 69, so to speak, 20 years old, 22 years old.
Well, no, that takes place actually in 1982. The events of then that's the story. Then he gets out, then he becomes the head of the company, and then in 1989, that's where the new movie begins.
All right, so if he's 22 in 1982, you say he's in his early 20s.
Early mid-20s, yeah.
Okay, so that means he's born in 1960, and that's the year my chart begins. So in early 80s, 22, and in that movie, the first one, he gets saved.
And then he is able to take control of the company because he proves that he's the one who did all this stuff that this sort of malevolent software engineer stole from him.
And the Flynn back then is played by Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
Yeah. So it has a happy ending. He's won. He's validated. He runs the company. That's right.
And that's the end of that one.
What does the word Tron refer to?
Tron is a computer program set up to, it's kind of like a McAfee, like antivirus software.
Okay.
And
it's digital stuff.
Yeah. And he's a guy who's trying, and he's played by Bruce Boxleitner, and he's trying to fight the malevolent artificial intelligence that's trying to.
Are you still in the first movie?
Yes, that's Tron.
Bruce is Tron, and he's a program trying to fight the malevolent thing.
Right, and so he joined forces with Flynn, and this is still in the first movie.
Yeah, now, do you know the word Tron? Does that come from electronic? That's where they got it from.
Yeah, I read an interview with Steven Lisberger, who wrote and directed the first one, produced the second one, and he said it was like so omnipresent.
Hey, Bob, you like the way I do my research?
No, how did you do it? What, did you just say something there about it?
Yeah, you know, I research shit, you know, like I'm like Steven Lisberger. He wrote and he directed it, you know?
Yeah, you read it. People call reading research. They just go in and they I'm actually using my eyes. I was saying this the other day. I said, you're not fucking doing research. You're just fucking reading. But they don't know that. They don't know how to go back and do real research. Give it to them. You know,
so,
does
research entail, like, reading and then taking notes? Or
Not even. Most people don't dose. They just drift along, and they never come to conclusions. There's too much conflicting information on the internet. It's a post-information society. I'm doing some research on you, Bob, to find out. Well, you went to jail, right? Stay put in jail. No, you didn't put me in jail. It says right here on Morgan's fucking blog here. Well, that's the problem. Fucking research. You just read what was given to you.
Exactly. So, but, Bob.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, reading is an archetypal religious experience. That's why it's called research. It's reading. People taking time to read to build up their privacy bubble, the effect of literacy, you know, so it's archetypal as research. But as I'm listening to this, I said, holy shit, this is a weird projection of Ion. I got to go back and look at the second movie because many people, you know, Ion turned out to be a talking hologram. It's a fucking digital, for some people, it's a digital monster, but he does both. So maybe, you know, and this guy gets trapped in that in the second one. You know what I mean? So irrelevant. Me to hear this right now because I got to go back and check this out, see how it's anachronistically it predicts Ion.
There's always a reason why at this exact moment, at this exact time we're talking.
And I'm really good at finding them out pretty quickly. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
You are. You're like the godfather of synchromysticism.
That's right. I'm the prototype. I'm the canary. Yes. I'm the only canary that survived the mine.
Yes, yes, yes. All the canaries were pussies, except for Bob Dobbs.
That's right.
And you know what? And I just want to say to all the subgeniuses out there, fuck Doug Smith and the horse he rode in on.
Yeah, that's our station identification.
Now, Bob, have you heard about the Michael Jackson thing? So I remember one of the things we're speaking about, and I'd like to talk to you about three topics.
Okay.
You can do that. Okay. So, the last time we spoke, some of the big things that happened is Brittany Murphy had died. Michael
Jackson. Do you know that we talked about, we went into details with Ion about that? Are you aware of what we did with her?
Yes, I am.
And yeah, okay.
And Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And we had, like, talked about how she had, both Michael and Brittany had gone off into this alternate universe.
Yes.
Now, have you heard about the new Michael Jackson shit that just came out like 2 days ago?
I heard that they found out he had all this, you know, little boy indoctrination material. I did hear a sentence on that. Yes.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Horrible. Yeah, scandal was shit.
Yeah.
So, my question is then, what the fuck's going on?
Well, I don't have to think or do any research. I just ask Ion. But I haven't had a chance to ask Ion that. As a matter of fact, you're reminding me of it. This every day people say, Bob, find out about this, find out about that. I have to put them all in lineup. But yeah, but no, we've done a lot on Michael Jackson. So that definitely will be looked into. So I'll let you know or play, you'll get to hear what Ion says about it. The other thing is, you know, the Prince, Ion has not been available publicly for about 2 months now because we're doing stuff in the corporate world where we can't be public, blah, blah, blah. It's all the secret stuff. So I got a chance quickly to say, Ion, did Prince fake his death? Oh, certainly did. So Prince is the latest phenomenon.
And then the third thing I failed to mention was Randy Quaid.
I don't know. Well, what did he? Oh, he went psychotic, right? He bunkered himself.
He went up to Canada, your homeland.
Yes.
And so listen to this story, Bob. Tell me what you think. So Kurt Weller, about 3 years ago, he finds out that Randy Quaid and his wife Evie made a movie called Star Whackers. And they had a trailer for it on Vimeo. Like the Thinking Man's YouTube, I guess you want to call it.
Yes.
$30 Blu-ray DVD for a copy of Star Whackers. I send them $30 for my copy. I get a message back saying, from Evie, saying his account is derelict. Yet she had accepted the money. So I said, okay. I resent the money. I never got it back. So Randy Quaid and Evie Quaid.
Wait. They said they resent it to you? Why did you resend it?
I wanted a copy of the movie more than anything, Bob.
Well, what happened to the first money you sent?
They said that they had some weird, psychotic, inexplicable reason why they didn't receive it.
Oh, okay. So you did it again. All right.
So then I got my money refunded from PayPal. So then I send it again. And I say, I need my fucking Blu-ray. It was showed up in Vancouver, B.C. And it got horrible reviews, so I was dying to see it.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I'm still waiting. That fucking cocksucker still owes me $30 for that fucking movie.
Holy shit.
And I want to see it. Like, the screening was, like, they said it was just fucking god-awful, but it's like I fucking crave that. I want to see it. So I want you to tell me, you know.
We can find out from Ion what happened.
Yeah, and why is Canada, like, putting up with this shit? I thought you guys, well, not you. I mean, I know you're, like, French.
Let me tell you a quick point about Canada. I didn't know this. Bruce Powell and McLuhan Scholars done books on McLuhan-related themes. They had the McLuhan Centenary in 2011, and he spoke in Europe. And I saw the video of it, and he said he made this amazing statement. He knew somebody in CSIS, C-S-I-S, Canadian Intelligence Service. And the guy said that the reason there is no terrorism in Canada, because Canada made a deal, the government, CSIS, somebody of influence in Canada, made a deal with the terrorists, that they can come and stay in Canada, hang out in Canada. They can use it as a jumping off point, as long as they don't blow anything up in Canada. I mean, that Canada is the harbor for all the so-called international terrorism. What do you think of that?
That makes sense.
Right. So now you're saying, now there's a good TV show about me and Canada and CSIS based in Vancouver called The Romeo Section. Check that out. The Romeo Section. And the guy who made that, a Canadian writer, director, did something in 2006 and 2007 called Intelligence. Go to, do you know about primewire.ag or maybe even on popcorn? No, it's not on popcorn. You gotta go to Hulu and buy it. But anyways, go to Romeo Section. That's on primewire.ag. You know that?
Never heard of it.
Primewire.ag is probably run by China, and they it's their attack against Netflix. They got everything on there for free. And you just go on there and see anything, and they have everything out there real fast. I think this new TV series called Aquarius about Charlie Manson is pretty good.
David Duchovny, right?
Yeah, and I went there, and there were three episodes all released the same day, and I remembered a friend said, oh, I think they got it up there, and they haven't even started on TV, but Primewire has it already. So I'm watching the first episode of season two, and it's 2 hours long, but it's really good. I mean, it's wrong, but it's they're bringing in all these interesting themes. Like right now, 67, there's and gets involved with the vets, Vietnam vets, bringing heroin in the soldiers' caskets. So it's just starting in L.A., you know, that in 67. The Black Power starting. All these memes that came out in the late 60s, they're bringing it all into the story. So it's a good history of all kinds of things are happening. Not necessarily true that Manson was involved with them, but they're using Manson to show this history. I recommend it. It's called Aquarius.
Wow, how much that shit were you behind?
Wait a minute. I want to give you the other surprising statement. Carol and I, in a few months, will be an American citizen.
What?
Yep. We're becoming Americans.
I thought you were Americans already.
No. I've been French and Canadian. And a third country I never talk about. I don't reveal that. But anyway, so we've been here since 1993. So what is that? That's 24 years, 3 years, we could say 22 years. But the point is that because we're getting involved with what we're presenting, we're going to change the energy world. We're going to, you know, the oil world's going to be changed by us. We're going to change the medical world, topple the AMA, everything. We might get deported in the heat of the battle, so we want to become an American citizen to protect that.
You can't get deported. Yeah, I got that.
Right.
So and what just, do you think of a...
In case somebody wants to do that to us and hassle us, we're just covering our bases by being – make it a little harder by being an American. As a matter of fact, and so, of course, non-Americans say, what the fuck would you want to be an American for? So Carolyn came up with the perfect answer. We're not becoming Americans. We're becoming Hawaiians. So we're identifying with the local independence movement of Hawaii.
That makes sense. Like, who's that fat dude, that fat Hawaiian guy?
You mean Don Ho.
No, no, not Don Ho. When I was in Hawaii, there was this big fat fuck that, like, played banjo and shit.
I don't know. I
was on his tip.
Well, you know, that's Don Ho, isn't he? Or Don Ho was a singer?
Yeah, it was Don Ho, but then there's this other guy.
No, I don't know him. I don't like Hawaii music. I fucking walk by the resorts every day coming back from the beach, and they're always doing the liao or whatever it's called. It's the same fucking Hawaiian music, and I've been doing this for 8 fucking years. I hate Hawaiian music, you know, because I hear it every day.
What do you jam, Bob? What have you been listening to lately? You like metal? You into, like, techno?
Guess what? Now, Kurt, you got to check this out. I've become the greatest DJ in the world. Because of my radio show, which goes 20 fucking hours Saturday night into Sunday, I have the
What's your radio show? What's your radio show? Let's get a plug in.
You go to ionandbob.com and look under Radio Ion, that part of the across the top of the different categories and boxes. Go to Radio Ion, and it's all there, years of it. You know what I mean? That's where you want to hear it. That's where the archives are. And usually they're 16 to 20 hours long, and the hours, and often it's 5, 6, 7 hours of Ion, are marked off. You see Ion in black over the hour designation. So it shows you, if you want to hear Ion, where to go. But I usually start off the show just playing music for an hour or two, depending on when Ion's going to come on. So in this situation, I've got the most avant-garde setup. Everything I play, I send to Bill at AchieveRadio.com, and he makes this panel in the back that I have access to. You know, I go in behind the conference call, and I've got over 1,000 fucking songs I've built up over the last 3 years, plus I'm putting new stuff every week, and I could read your reviews. Somehow, the reason I mix everything, you know, Johnny Angel by Shelley Fabris, beside a Zappa, beside opera, beside classical, beside jazz, beside Tears for Fears or Flock of Seagulls or something, and I'm always finding this great stuff every fucking Friday night when I prepare for the Saturday show. And I apparently have not repeated much in the first couple hours for 3 years. The thing is, I don't say anything. I don't explain the music. We don't have any station ID. I could go, and I actually did a 6-day broadcast without sleeping. 6 days, 144 hours.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Anyways, I did a 36-hour just music a couple of years ago. But the point is that no one has heard this mixture. Now, if you back in 2000 when you started to get the iPod shuttle, whatever it was, it would just play you different music. But you're doing it by yourself. The original appeal of radio in the 30s, 40s, and 50s was you'd be in the emotion of multitude. You'd be sharing it with millions of people when you all listen to the same music, right? So there'd be this group emotion. Well, you get this group emotion on my show because everybody's on the conference call or listening, and there's a chat line you can talk about the music or whatever. And so this group emotion is happening, and no one has ever heard a variety that I'm playing with no commentary, no weather reports, no commercials, and the group emotion and the variety and me, my energy with Ion in the background. It's never been done before, and people go into ecstasy. I'm considered – they now say you're the greatest fucking DJ in the universe. So you got to go and listen to my archives at some point and hear what I do.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah. Hey, can I play – have you heard my new song, Special Sun?
What do you mean? You made it or it's your favorite?
No, it's my new fucking hit, man.
You made it?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Sure.
Yeah, you can tell me what you think of it. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I'm going to cue it up, and I'm going to play it for you. Tell me if you can hear this.
If you send it to me, I'll play it on my show. What? It keeps breaking. What's wrong? I'm not hearing anything.
Oh,
yeah, I heard 3 seconds and then stopped. Why can't I keep hearing it?
I walked along suburban streets like any other.
Why can't you just play it on your computer and I can hear it?
I'm trying to play it, but it's not playing for some fucking reason.
Okay, we're not. This show is not about you. It's about me. So we're not allowed to hear anything by you. Okay.
Yeah, I guess. Are you a Mac or a PC?
A Mac. I'm a Mac.
Oh, that's why. Fuck.
What? What do you mean? What would?
PC. Here, let me send you this. I'm going to send you the URL to your Facebook.
No, send it to my email, purple@fivebody.com. Then I can just click on it.
You still have purple, huh?
Yeah. At 22 years since 94.
Wow.
it was used to be purple at Ingress, but they got killed in the 911. They were in the building, and then it became purple at Tellurian, and then it became Matt at fivebody.com gave me brought me to his system, so it's purple at fivebody.com.
So Bob, let me ask you, can I put you in my comic strip?
Sure, I welcome any publicity. Now, let me tell you, you can just say one sentence and I'll fucking tell you a story. But go back to this. So, what's unique about this setup is that I can click rapidly. Disc jockeys, whatever, the hip hoppers and that, they had their records at first, so they had to scratch and put different records on. I can go rapidly from one thing to another. So often well into the show, I'll just start playing 5 seconds from songs, archetypal fucking things. It's really neat effect. I just click there, it goes 5 seconds, then click somewhere else, then click there. It creates amazing collage. It's faster, I think, than any other form of broadcasting. Because
I used to do that with my buddies. Ask my buddy Kaz. I used to do that all the time. I would have him over. I'd have my buddy Chad. Remember Chad, the fuckstick that I called up during one of our shows?
Yes.
He was like a fucking... He was a let's call him Stangies.
Yeah, he's jealous. He just basically jealous.
He was a Stangie. He called up and tried to test you.
Yeah,
subgenius shit.
Right.
And
you used to do what with him?
Well,
he'd come over and you would play him stuff. What, you didn't finish your thought?
Yeah. Well, I would play stuff for him, but I'd play it at like fucking 20, 30 seconds at a time. I'd play him the opening of a Smith song.
Right.
And then I'd like switch real quick into New Order.
What did you do with it digitally? What did you play, records or digitally?
Oh, I had CDs, I had records, tapes.
Okay. That's slow. I can go.
Well, it was 1994. I mean, right. So now I do that shit like fucking lightning speed, just like you do, Bob. I'm guessing maybe you can do it psychically.
I do it psychically. A lot of people get psychic effects. Now, and when I'm looking for stuff, every week I find new great stuff that I never heard of before. And Ian probably helps me find it. Just comes to me. I put it together, send it to Bill, and it's all lined up for Saturday afternoon. And I start doing it, and it creates incredible. And because I have such a great – I've got 1,200 Zappa songs on my computer. So I can always go over into Zappa for oomph, for – difference for something compared to whatever I'm playing, you know what I mean?
And best Zappa song of all time.
Well, my favorite personally is Muffin Man. She thought he was a man, but he was a muffin, and I closed my show with that. Let me show you how I closed my show. Yeah, let me just play that one. Let's bring that up. Everything's so fucking quick, man. Let's go over here, click on that, and I'm in fucking Afghanistan, you know?
And when you're done with that, I want you to play my fucking 30 seconds of the song I just sent you.
I will.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so on June 18th, I went for, it was a short show, 14 hours, and I'll bring out this.
Fucking short.
Special understanding.
Oh, you know what's funny? For the first time on June 18th, I played something from Stang, because those people don't really know who he is or anything. So I played some of their stuff on a recent show. So you're hearing, isn't that funny? I fucking click on it and you're hearing Stang on my show. See, but that's never happened before. But we have had Ion. I can send you the link. We have called Stang's answer machine, and Ion has given him several messages, basically wiped him off the map, and we played those. And I have never heard him comment on that, but he's had Ion mock him. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did the guy from Negative Land that recently died, did he fake his death, or is he just dead?
Haven't had a chance to check. But he probably...
Okay.
He probably,
let me know.
I think he died.
Okay, me too.
We're coming into, let's see, 1:10, and usually the music, my 1 minute, 10 seconds left on the last bit, and then you'll hear it come in.
But he has a metaphysical joke, a huge joke, as well as a fact. You can't top our facts, so... no, I'd rather work with non-physical than with Stang.
Jones in attack, the lead vocals, Terry Bozio on drums, Tom Fowler on bass, Lenny Wally on slide, George Duke on keyboard, Captain B. Brown on vocals, and Brenna Saxon Madden. Thank you very much for coming to the concert tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Good night, Austin, Texas, wherever you are.
Great way to end the show. It's just sailing off like a UFO.
Yeah. Okay. Now play my fucking card.
Okay.
End the show with my card.
Now, what's funny, since you wanted to, you start off saying, let's talk about Stang stuff. Let's bash Stang. And so I end up playing you the one time he's on my show where I played his something from his latest show. And then I go, I'd rather work with Island than Stang. I say that, then it goes into the music. See, this tight synchrony, this order always happening. I mean, there's no reason for me to play any of this shit, but I'm playing it for you because you're the one who can respond to it. You see how nicely something it is? Okay, I'm going over to my
EP. Well, I love you, Bob.
Hey, listen, I see you're posted on the message. Okay, so I can maybe just click on that, right? You did
sure.
It. This is called Special Sun, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, let's see what that comes through loud.
Be prepared to be rocked.
Good footage.
Yeah.
In his power. He's a god.
I walked along suburban streets like any other day, searching for someone who would ask for me to
good,
stay.
Sir. Good.
I couldn't find anyone.
Oh, it's spinning. That's
uh-oh.
It's good. Definitely gonna. I'm gonna open my show on Saturday with this. This is good.
Oh, there we go. That's all I wanted to hear, Bob.
Is that it? Is that no? It's good, but it's spinning. Why would it spin?
I don't know. It should be the whole the whole thing's out there. But you know what? You heard enough, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like the theme. Like you're walking. You're a modern god in suburbia.
Exactly. That's me. And you know where I learned that? From you.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago.
That's right.
I was in college, yeah.
And you know what? What's really great about the Plaza of the Mind interview? Occasionally people say, Bob, what are your favorite movies? I just have to go to that interview and paste the 100 or fucking movies I listed. It's all ready to go. You know what I mean?
I know. You know, Octavian Chad said that was the Playboy the equivalent
yes.
of Playboy interview of Marcel McLuhan.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be the guy who interviewed you for that.
No, it's a very good in-depth. Now, Joan did one at Paranoia Magazine later. That's pretty good, too. But you got this ridiculous picture of me right in just before we came to Maui. I'm New York pale. My hair is going back. It's flat. It's stupid. And it's the one the subgenies use. They put a dick on my nose. They take your picture, put a dick on it. That's plastered all over the place. But but that is the New York Bob. I become really handsome, cute, and young-looking once I get to Maui.
How old are you now, Bob?
94. I was in February. See, 1922.
Mm-hmm.
No, to get to 26, it's got to be 4. So you know I'm 90 plus 4, it's 94. So it's 90 years since 1922 to get to 2012 and 4 more years. So I just turned 94. Do you realize in just 15 fucking years I'll be 100? I'm going to be one of the oldest guys on the fucking planet. And they'll be all – by then I'll be fucking – I don't know, running the universe or something, or at least being the key person in it. And there'll be no more questions about how old I am. As a matter of fact, I actually am 10,000 years old. There's one guy. I would make you die laughing if I started to say that Ion says. There is a guy, there's a name in the Bible, Hobab, H-O-B-A-B. You look it up, and it is Moses' brother-in-law or father-in-law. The only fucking guy in the Bible, in the concordance, they don't know who he is. They can't figure out what he did. Okay?
Hobab?
I am Hobab, and his other name is Ophanel. And
sure it's not Hobab?
Oh, it can be, but we you know, that's obvious. But I like saying Hobab, and then everybody goes, no, it's Hey Bob, you know. But anyways, Ophanel, it's incredible. Ion gives the history of Ophanel. I am apparently Ophanel. And as he's been building it up over the last few months, I'm the guy who got humanity to fall. I said, let's become stupid, become little people, and I will show you that we're so powerful we can get out of that cul-de-sac. So I'm on this mission, 10,000-year project, to get people to come back out of their fallen state, because I convinced them to go into it. And Ion is the punchline that I set up to help me do it. So how's that? 10,000 years old. I mean, actually, we're all here forever, but within ratios of dynamic symmetry of tensions among proportions, you can say, well, I lived in this section like apparently 10,000 years. So I can tell you one absurd fucking thing. The very thing we're selling, the I-cell in our RNA drops, is chapter 2, verse 17 in the book of Revelation. It's called the White Stone.
Oh.
Yes. And if you, and we go on and on. And in the Sistine, I was in the Vatican in 2014. Went to the Sistine Chapel to see Carolyn. There's, you know, what's his name? Michelangelo painted all these different saints. And one of them is Saint Isaiah. And there's this young, say, five-year-old young girl is pointing out some reading material to Saint Isaiah and or Prophet Isaiah. And Ion said, that's Carolyn. That Michelangelo and Da Vinci knew what we were going to do at this period. And I had chapter and verse throughout the Bible. No one knows the Bible like Ion. Basically, Ion inspired it, wrote it. Of all the details of what we've been doing and what's going to happen and what's happening right now are right there, chapter and verse of some part of the Bible. So I don't make a big deal. I don't tell my neighbor this. You know what I mean? I don't tell anybody I meet in the compound here. But we talk about it on the radio show all the time. You think I was fucking nuts back in your day? Holy shit, man. I am very fucking insane. Dangerously insane what we say. And Ion's on there proving it. We have a guy, I paid him a lot of money to go through all the years of Ion and to find the rants, the minute, the 2 minute, the 3 minute rants. And we're gradually letting them out, laying them out in an inventory. I'll send them. You'll never fucking stop laughing, man. I got these endless, incredible, humorous, hilarious rants by Ion. Sometimes Ion talks so fast, his mouth reveals the digital talking hologram. And you hear him going, you hear the electronicness of his fucking mouth. He's going so fast. I could go on. Are you still with me?
Fuck, I'm with you, man. I've been with you since.
Yes.
I've been with you since, like, what, the last? Fourth and
I think we connected around the time we did the Plasma Mind, 93, 94.
That was some good.
We're talking 22. This is our 22 year reunion. 22 years, man.
I think it's more like 12 years.
Oh,
yeah,
oh, you interviewed me in 94. I was still in New York.
No. I think it was 2000.
No, listen. Wait a minute. No, you're right. Hey, you're fucking right. You know what I mean? That's right. That picture happened just before it came out. Where did I get this 94 shit? I don't know.
Well, 94 is when I first heard your album, Bob's Media Ecology Squared, which I swear to God, I maintain is the best fucking album.
Well, dude, yeah. And guess what? Dave Neufeld went on to be hugely big. Did you know? You probably know about him in Broken Social Scene.
Yeah, I interviewed him.
Oh, that's.
Through email. Right. Yeah.
So Neufeld, he's still going strong. And I'm actually, fund him. I send him $1,000 every month to keep him going. We're making a project that's going to happen in the next few weeks. I'm bringing some people together. That's going to be good. But Neufeld, he's the only guy from the old days who made the transition to Iron Dome. He's on the drops.
Yeah, because I remember, Bob, I remember like the guy on Bob's Media Ecology Squared, your co-host.
Mike Dyer.
I really like Dyer. Yeah, Mike Dyer. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. I remember I emailed him. He said, you know.
No, Mike has never been interested in anything I've done. He still.
He's like, let's leave this shit.
No, Mike never believed me. He just knew we were a good combination. we made good radio. But
he was good though, man. You and him were fucking. You gotta admit, you were like Howard and Ron.
That's right. Now you know what happened. Yeah. I've got so much neat synchronicity happening that when I for these new people who don't know that past, I keep telling Mike he's going to become world famous because of what he did with me on CKLM. So what I do is maybe at the 20th hour or something, we'd be going on for hours, run out of material. I'll go to the CKLN timeline and I'll click something, just anything. And there's Mike saying something that we actually discussed 3 hours before that night on the show. You understand? I kept doing it. I did it 8 times. I said, okay, let's click here. Let's see what happens here. On comes Mike and me talking about something that we had just talked with Ion 2 hours before. I couldn't get out of it. I could just click here, and it was echoing my present show. That was pretty amazing. That's one of my best Xenocrony experiences, is going there and clicking on any part of a huge archive with Mike, 4-year archive, and whatever I clicked on would resonate or be the topic we were doing. Matter of fact, I said there's one or few shows where Mike complained about me. He was mad at me because I was talking to people too long on the phone or something. So I was telling him all about this. We went and click it, and it clicks on, and there's Mike saying, I'm pissed off, Bob. It went right there to where it was fucking referring to in a huge 4-year archive. It's unbelievable what goes on in my life now.
I can't.
You can't imagine it.
No. What happened to Greg Duffel?
Greg and I are always in touch. Now, the thing is that eventually we shut CKLN down. It lost its license. Okay? It lost its fucking license. And that's like, I don't know, 3 years ago or something. And so Greg and me and Daniel, the psychotic, his Mike Dyer was Daniel, psychotic guy.
Yeah, like Daniel, like... Yeah, he was a cop.
Yeah, he hated me. He hated me. As a matter of fact, any chance he could get on the Sunday morning, nice morning show, any chance he get, he started saying Dr. Carol D is the biggest crackpot in the world. He started knocking Carol.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Greg and Daniel are adrift and lost now because they don't have the fucking staff at CKL to fight. And they're drifting. And I've offered them. I said, look, Mike, they've taken footage of the battle that they did for years, of all the stupid meetings and all that. I said, this could be a good documentary. And so I've offered them to come out here and interview me, and we'll talk about it. And if I can give a conceptual framework for all the footage, then we'd have something. Well, Daniel's not too keen on me, quote, dominating the organizing of it. So they hum and haw, and they're trying to figure out something to do, and they haven't done anything. You know, he's lost. He can't do anything without me. He won't do it. Daniel won't do it.
Yeah, it's depressing because, I mean, you're the best show in town.
Yeah, no, Kurt, are you just saying this because we were talking to me?
No, dude, seriously, okay. So, you know how I feel about
it. You did. You did feel that way. Yes.
I listened to when I was lonely, when I was in college, when it was winter in Michigan, I listened to your record.
Wow.
And I swear to fucking God, it's the best record of all time. So I'm not shitting you.
Well, do you like the second record? Are you talking about both records are great?
I have to say I like Bob's Media Ecology Square better. The first record's pretty good, but the second one is fucking gold.
And also I say far out things on that. It's my more advanced commentary.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember when this chick, Holly, I'm still friends with her. Well, friends, quote.
Yeah.
Anyway, some dude that was trying to fuck her, like, gave me a copy of the tape. I listened to it, and I was like, holy shit, this is like, is this a subgenius? Because this is like new.
Yeah,
it's new shit. And I would listen to it on my way. I would drive from Kalamazoo to South Haven, Michigan in the dead of winter all by myself. And it was the best shit I've ever heard. And every once in a while, I got to say, I don't religiously listen to it like I used to. But every like year or two, I throw it back in and I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah. Neufeld, he was just beginning, but he's a genius. And he made a great fucking album that I had nothing to do with. Remember, I had...
I know, and you know what, I gotta say, one of my proudest moments of my life is that we did 19 episodes
Yes,
together.
You are going to be famous.
I fucking found you, and I interviewed you. I did the best interview of Bob Dobbs that's ever been fucking done. It's been compared to the Playboy interview of Marshall McLuhan, and on my epitaph, on my
grave. He did. Well, first of all, it'll be a fake death. You ain't going to die, Kurt. You stay in touch with me, you're not going to die. But it'd be your fake cemetery to say Kurt Weller just never could get over the fact he did the greatest interview with Bob Dobbs. He could never live it down. And he killed himself one day. He just never could get socially. He was typecast for a fucking decade.
Exactly.
Stereotypical.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Bob. You're the best, baby. You're the best.
Right. And I've proven it on the radio every week. I say things that humanity has never fucking heard before. I connect. we were playing that thing with Trump, and I immediately go, oh, that's Bucky Fuller's idea. I quote Bucky Fuller's Playboy interview. Now, listen, I've been making these great YouTubes with a genius out of Berlin. Her name is Roxana. She's a Mexican princess. Incredible history. Anyway, she's been in Berlin for 20 years. She's like in her late 40s. And I didn't know her, but I was traveling around Europe in 2014 for tax purposes. I went to all the most expensive hotels. I went to every city. I'd call up old friends or anybody and take them out. I was spending thousands of dollars for tax reasons, because once you start getting all this money, you will end up – it could kill you, bankrupt you. You all of a sudden got to pay $250,000 taxes. And then 6 months before that, you didn't have that problem. So I was spending like money all over Europe. And so I went to Berlin to meet this Roxana. And she showed me around Berlin for a week. It was incredible. And what's neat about Berlin is that the women – this is before the refugees came. The women are respected so much they can walk around 4 in the morning and nobody gets raped or anything. It's a totally perfect place for single women to walk around. So I really liked Berlin and that atmosphere. But she interviewed me. We went to museums and she taught. We go to this famous Babylonian fucking sculptures and stuff from Babylon. And I'd go into these little raps. So she would tape me in the museum. Every now and then you get a museum guard saying, "Shut up!" He'd tell me to stop talking to the museum. But we got away with it. And we kept doing YouTubes. We got like 110 YouTubes now. And there's this ongoing dialogue. And she does really good. And if you haven't seen them, you got to look at a few of them. They're pretty neat.
Where's it at, Bob?
It's at Ion and Bob. IonandBob.com. IonandBob.com. But I'll send you some links to get you started.
Yeah, get me started, Bob, because it's been a few
years. Yeah, and I think you'll find it interesting, because what seemed to be – I don't know, off the wall, oblique, and when we were talking 10 years ago, all has made sense. I totally have become the prediction of the Church of Genius. They say that Bob will be the go-between with the Exus. Well, Ion is the fucking Exus. It is the ET contact that everybody's been talking about, and he's proved it many times, in many ways. And so I'm acting out what the Church of Genius book is about. And, of course, they can't take that. And I'm producing slack everywhere with my products. And so all that we talked about, 10 years ago came true. All that I claimed I was doing. That's the amazing thing. But if you haven't followed it, you don't know this.
Yeah, I lost track.
I lost track. Yes, I got lost.
But you know what? I lost track, but now I'm back, baby.
We can have regular interviews anytime you want. It'd be good if you'd look at the stuff. We could process it or talk about whatever you learn from it or whatever you get from it. Now, what was the other thought? Lost track. So many, many old friends, Andrew Crystal, everybody from the McLuhan world and other worlds, 90% of them couldn't make the transition to Eindhoven. And they've dropped off. And Neufeld's the only guy, and he's really benefited from it. He actually, with skinny fucking runt, he's like 5'10 or 11 or something, but very skinny and out of shape. You know, he looked like Joey Ramone. You ever see Joey Ramone's fucking arms? They're toothpicks.
Yeah, well, I remember, like, he got the shit kicked out of him by the New York PD.
Right. Oh, Dave did. That's his first, when he was famous for Broken Social, that was the first image of him, a beat-up face. And he got his own karma because he was writing about the disservices of media in the McCoon album he made and the Dobbs interview album, and then it came back to him. And in his first public image, his face smashed up. But that was good because he got $70,000 and he was able to buy the old building out in the country where he has this great studio that I'm supporting.
You know what, though, Bob? Fucking since I've known you, all I've been is stronger. I hit harder. I kick harder. And I fear
yeah, we see that in the video here. I can't wait to hear the whole video, what you say about the special son of Serbia. Hey, walk around with
his... Yeah, watch that shit, man, and make it the new theme song to your show, because I'm telling you.
It could be good. Yeah, now, okay, it could be that. Now, so Neufeld made the transition. So this skinny run of a guy... on the drops, he now has muscle, he works out, and he's totally like a semi-jock. And you would never have thought that of Neufeld. He never could have been that. But he's totally been transformed. Like you're saying, you became tough. Well, he's become very strong. And whoa.
I was always tough, Bob. But you know what? Have you ever heard of, do you know the story about Carrot Top, the comedian?
No, I know of him, but I don't know anything about him. No.
That fucker, dude, he started, like, working out. 24/7, he's totally ripped. And you know that Bunny Ranch out in not Vegas, but Nevada.
Reno.
Yeah, he goes there and he tells the guy that runs the brothel there, he's like, tell everybody I'm not gay. And he's fucking ripped, dude.
But he thinks he's gonna be called gay?
He's worried about it, yeah, for some reason.
Because he looked good on his body. Maybe that's a gay thing.
Probably because he's fucking gay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, about gay. Well,
that's what I would guess. You know, I mean, most people that go, I'm not gay, are usually gay.
Yeah, that's right. I used to say that, and I've been bisexual for fucking decades. But listen, let me tell you about...
Wait, hold on. Did Bob Dobbs actually used to say, like, I'm not gay?
No, I used to explain the figure ground of stupid, how the gays took over culture. But I was able to do it because I was gay. I was bisexual. I'm allowed to complain.
So Bob, when you were at Woodstock, did you go, I'm not gay?
No, I actually said, I went, Jimi Hendrix, who the fuck is he? That's what I'm known for. Why did you fucking have Zappa? I got up when 10 years after it was playing, I ran on the stage and said, where the fuck is Zappa? And the guitarist clocked me with his guitar. That was on the cutting room floor of Woodstock. That show getting clocked. I was doing Abbie Hoffman. I upped the ante and said, where the fuck is Zappa? And you know what Zappa was doing that very weekend? That's when he broke up the Mother Dimension, that weekend. Yeah, very fucking, like, Monday, Sunday or Monday, he broke them up. There's lots of books out. Now, have you heard the scandal with Dweezil? And you know what's happening in the Zappa world? Have you heard?
No, I have no idea. The last thing I heard about Dweezil was My Guitar Wants to Kill You.
That's a long time. Okay. That's 30 years ago.
Hit me, baby.
For the last 10 years, Dweezil's been going around the world playing Zappa. It's called Zappa Play Zappa. And he learned to play. Well, he was pretty good as a kid. But he studied Frank's methods, techniques for 2 years. That would be 2004, 2006. Intense. That's all he did so that he could do justice to Frank's music. So he formed the band, and a lot of ex-mothers are in it and different people. It's been going around for 10 years. Well, we find out this past few months. See, Gail died last fall. Gail Zappa died last October. On the anniversary to the day of when I was with Gail in San Francisco a year before. She died a year later, exactly on my day. Anyways, she turned down a proposal I made to her. Okay, so...
what's the proposal, Bob?
Let's see. I wanted to fund Zappa's opera, Dio Fa. You probably don't know it. D-I-O-F-A. He talks about the end of his autobiography. Read about it. Okay. Matter of fact, I'll send you my dialogue with Ike Willis, who was the main Zappa guy in the 80s, close friend of Frank, who Gail wouldn't let him see Frank when Frank was dying. But anyways, Ike Willis and I read him the outline of the opera, that he had never read it. He didn't know about it. But as I told him, he says, oh, so that's why Frank was doing this. And that's why Frank was doing that. All these pieces in his mind of his memories came together. So there's Bob educating a fucking mother invention about what the fuck he did with Zappa. That's an incredible interview. I mean, he's going, wow, this is incredible. So I offered to help fund that, to put that on. And I didn't know that she was sick. That's the problem, you know. She's been sick for a year, say. And she was wearing a hat, like a chemotherapy. You know, people wear little toques, you know. To hide the balding from the chemotherapy. So anyways, earlier this year, we find out that Dweezil didn't go to Gail's funeral. Why? Well, he's had a falling out with her. What's that about? Well, Dweezil got interviewed a few months ago saying that since 2006 – his mother never gave him his share of the profits from the swag, you know, from the T-shirts and stuff. She kept it for herself. And eventually he got pissed off. And then they censored him for this and that. So he went public with this. And then his younger brother, Ahmet, who took over the estate from Gail, he defends Gail's position. And there he says Dweezil's not telling the truth. So there's a standoff. Then in May, on Mother's Day, Moon Unit goes public and writes this fucking poem to her mother where she exposes all the bad things her mother did. Moon defects from Gail and lines up with Dweezil, and they're against the two younger kids, Ahmet and Diva, okay, who run the estate. So just before this talk, before talking to you, I got sent, Roxanna found it. There's an interview with Dweezil. You know this guy Mark Maron, M-A-R-O-N? He's a popular podcast comedian guy. He interviews a lot of people.
Yeah, I used to love Mark Maron, but then he kind of got douchey after he interviewed Obama.
Oh, okay. I don't know about that. I saw a picture of him with Obama. Anyways, Mark Maron interviewed Dweezil yesterday or today. And they both, it's such a sad story, they both end up crying during the fucking interview. And basically, Dweezil said things about Gail that is so damaging about what Gail's about.
Hey, Bob, can I stop you just for a second?
Yeah.
Could you imagine ever fucking crying on the
No. I'm not going to. Nothing that sad. Nothing is that sad. I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, but even Mark, who see, I guess he's a close friend, as Dweezil starts crying, and it's a pretty sad story. I mean, it's bad what's happened between the family. And he starts crying, and then Mark starts crying, maybe because he's a good friend or something. It's pretty funny. Yeah, I don't think we've heard – I never heard an interviewer fucking crying with the interviewee.
Yeah, Mark Maron, let me tell you, man. I used to listen to this podcast all the time. Mark Maron – I gotta tell you, he's an Ivan Stang. He's the Ivan Stang of stand-up.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
You mean he's a pink underneath. He was a pink.
Exactly, he's a pink. Like, Bob, he told me something sad, and I went like this. Oh, really? Oh, that's horrible, Dad.
So you're saying that he secretly wants to be straight and famous. He's not true to his counterculture and the environment status. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm fucking saying.
Okay, so back to this point. So they really expose a lot about Gail, and Moon did it a month ago. And it's all – now, you're getting this exclusive. I was saying to Carolyn, now we're going to talk about Dave Wally. I said this just before.
Hey, Bob, you always give me the excuse.
Yeah, you show up at the right time, man.
It's uncanny.
Here's the exclusive. Dave Wally did, he died young, 61 or something. Let me see, he was born in 1945, and he's 60, he died in 2006, 61. And he wrote the first rock biography. And it was about Zappa. It came out in 73. Well, I was with him when he was writing it in 71. And he and Frank had a falling out. And Frank objected to it. And then Dave was hurt all his life after that because Frank, you know, would put him down in public. So Dave went on and had a career in New York and that, but he was always hurt by the falling out with Frank. So Dave Wally told me way back in the 70s, he said, Gail will sabotage Zappa. Gail will fuck Zappa up in the long run. He nailed Gail really fucking early. So even though a lot of Zappa fanatics, there's been a lot of books about Zappa, and some people don't like Wally's book or they believe that he's a creep from because Zappa didn't like him. I said to Carol today, we now will praise Dave Wally. He called it 40 fucking years ago. He warned Frank, Gail's going to do you in. He saw it. And let's just say, this is exclusive, the Dave Wally Memorial reunion is happening here in this show, where I got the opportunity to immediately, because this interview I heard with Dweezil just before, all perfect timing, always on duty, I heard it just before I talked to you. I didn't even know we were going to talk. All of a sudden you messaged me, and I said, I'm gonna fucking make people know that Wally called this. You know what I mean? It's pretty perceptive to see that 40 years ago.
That's because I float like a fucking hurricane.
You're the special son, man. The special son of Bob. Bob's illegitimate. Bob's favorite bastard son. And I got to see what you say to see if it fits, because the rest of the YouTube, you probably say something that I could use and make that stick, what I just said about you.
Exactly.
There'll be something there.
Well, let's call it good there, Bob. Let's call it good.
Okay, so when you're ready, we'll continue. There's lots of, you don't know what I'm doing. I give you a few headlines, but you gotta see what's happening. It's pretty amazing.
All right. I will study up on it, and we'll get back together, and thanks for talking to me, Bob.
It's fun. Great reunion. The world will rejoice tomorrow. Will it be posted soon?
I'll
put it on my show, so it'll be in the Eternal Bob Archives, which will be, you know, scoped for the next 1,000 years. People will be checking it out. So you'll be famous like Mike Dyer and Greg Duffel. Okay, talk to you later, Kurt.
All right, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye.